This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's Wild Oil of Oregano supports a variety of healthy benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And it's early in the year, and I think that this is a good time to do kind of a general recap on what's happening in the field of integrative medicine in terms of are we making progress? Are we making headway? There are some headwinds because there are critics of integrative medicine and what we call CAM, complementary and alternative medicine, people who disparage what we're doing. In fact, I recently engaged just such a skeptic in a Facebook broadcast with Dr. Stephen Novella. Stephen Novella was my sparring partner, and we went at it. He's skeptical about the benefits of natural medicine. I took the position that natural medicine had lots to offer. Today, we're going to talk to an advocate who really has his finger on the pulse of integrative medicine in this country. He's John Weeks. He is a writer, a speaker, an organizer, an advocate with 32 years of experience in the movement for integrative health and medicine. He was invited in May 2016 to serve as editor-in-chief of the Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine. He also co-founded the Academic Collaborative for Integrative Health, which we'll talk a little bit about. It's an advocacy organization for all manners of integrative therapy. And the whole scope of practitioners who embrace it in this country and around the world. He directed it from 2007 to 2015. And these days he writes, he teaches, he speaks. He has a monthly column, which is excellent. And he writes for Integrative Medicine, a clinician's journal in the Huffington Post and elsewhere. So without further ado, here's John Weeks. John, it's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine once again, and Happy New Year.
It's a pleasure to have the idea of intelligence associated with my name. Happy New Year to you. It's great to be back, Ron.
Indeed. Well, you I think, really exemplify intelligent medicine because you have really been, very, very central to promoting it in a reasonable kind of way because, you're rationally based. You are someone who is very selective about the causes that you advance. And so let's get right to the heart of the issue. Recently, you pushed back on a series of disparaging articles that appeared in newspapers, for example, the Los Angeles Times, about something called the Samueli Institute at UC Irvine, which is in Southern California, Orange County, $200 million grant by the Samueli Foundation to further the study and practice of integrative medicine in the belly of the beast in an academic institution, UC Irvine Medical School, the Keck Medical School. So frame the issue for us. Tell us a little bit about the Samueli Initiative and why there was so much blowback.
So the great question to start, and as you may know, I listed it as number one amongst the top 10 for integrative health and medicine policy and action for 2017, and $200 million, I think, warrants that attribute, whether or not there'd been any blowback. First, I think a framing for Dr. Novella and the kind of full-time, maybe they're full-time volunteers at it, the group of people who have been descendants of the long line of antagonism towards complementary alternative chiropractic medicine that goes back, as you know, to the anti-chiropractic work at the AMA and then the National Council Against Health Fraud. And then it's kind of moved into Wallace Sampson's work at Stanford University as skeptics, and now goes under this title of science-based medicine, mm-hmm. which I call polarization-based medicine, because that's, to my mind, more what these people are doing rather than engaging in dialogue. So a starting place is just to really know who your audience is there, and I think the best way to think about that audience is to apply the Serenity Prayer,
right?
And that's to know, you know, who, what you can change, what you can't, and have the wisdom to know the difference. And so I think the issue that came up with the coverage of what the Samuelis are doing, really, I don't think you can change Dr. Novella or his colleagues who have been trafficking in this polarizing way of looking at integrative health and medicine. But what we can focus on is the media and their choosing to lead with this article in the way that they have by quoting these people who call it quackademic medicine, mm-hmm. who call the practitioners still charlatans and frauds. It's really harsh language, despite the fact, right, that the National Academy of Medicine has recommended many of these therapies practitioners in their pain guidelines. The American College of Physicians has done the same thing. The Mayo Institute has published on pain, a paper that was developed through the National Institutes of Health on the evidence behind integrative strategies for pain that positively affirms the value of these therapies and practices.
John, it's not as if we're having tremendous success in terms of our conventional medical management of some of these conditions. There's an epidemic of opiate addiction. Our techniques for curbing it are not really working. We're not doing well with PTSD in veterans and the Veterans Administration. Now that's areas of alternative medicine or integrative medicine are being investigated for them. Cancer care, there's certainly some elements lacking there, and so on and so on and so on. So, it's not as if, there's not a crying need for, innovative approaches.
Ron, that's why when I wrote about that response, I called it the shameful response. And it's why, again, I refer to these people as polarization-based medicine. We need to be finding new strategies when we have such a lousy chronic management of chronic pain that we end up with the opioid crisis that we've ended. It's really a chronic pain management crisis. And part of the crisis is that there are still these people in medicine who are basically saying, steer clear of acupuncture, steer clear of mind body, steer clear of chiropractic, steer clear of massage, steer clear of many of these things that have a good deal of science to support them. That line of teaching in medical school, oh, that's changing. Happily, that is changing. Decision of these writers and some otherwise relatively responsible media to irresponsibly ape the kind of commentary that these people that's the issue. The issue is the media.
What we're referring to specifically is the way that some media outlets chose to cover this story. I have here, not the Time story, but I have something called Inside Higher Ed, which I guess is a publication for people in the education establishment. It says, yes. UC Irvine under scrutiny for taking $200 million for School of Health from couple, some say, back junk science. Now, another way to phrase that headline is, what a wonderful boon this is that a couple is so generous as to contribute $200 million, an enormous sum, to further the study of research-based, rigorously studied, highly science-based interventions for dealing with our disease crisis in this country. And, you know, there's nothing in the gift that says, you know, 100% you've got to validate every therapy under the sun. This is for research and investigation. And the physicians who are in charge of this, they're not in the can for supporting this. They may come to the conclusion that certain therapies are without value, that there's merely a placebo effect.
Yeah, I you're absolutely right about that. I mean, this is after all going to be at UC Irvine, which is not known to be, you know, falling over for every alternative strategy somebody wants to recommend. I'll tell you how the game works with these critics. So Susan Samueli, who's behind Susan and Henry Samueli, are the couple that are behind the foundation, personally likes homeopathy. She's on the record as liking homeopathy. Mm-hmm. Now, the debate about the science of homeopathy, we could bring some very, very, very smart people in here arguing the science that exists around homeopathy. We publish some of it semi-regularly in the Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine. There is a science that supports the use of homeopathic medicines. It's highly debated, and the nature of homeopathy makes it a target that the people who are opposed to all of integrative medicine like to focus on. So what they'll do is they'll say, well, here we have this evidence that Susan Samueli likes it. And then now we've heard, actually, there's a naturopathic physician who works at the Susan Samueli Institute at UC Irvine, who in the list of the broad list of kinds of therapies that this physician uses, one of them is homeopathy. They then make the entire story of the $200 million about homeopathy and then call all of the integrative health and medicine initiative in U.S. medicine fraudulent and quackademic, based on their focus around something that just barely, I've actually had one of these people get in touch with me, ask me what I was doing supporting these quacks. And I said, you go look at the report on integrative medicine in the United States of America from, I think it was 2014, the Brave World Club. And look at the list of the therapies that are provided at academic health centers in the United States. And you come back and tell me how many list homeopathy. This is an outlier, right? It's not, it's even not a big part of what's, it's a very, very, very small part. And frankly, Susan's interest is very small. And so to be looking at a story about an effort to transition medicine in the U.S., towards a model that respects the whole person, that tries to use less invasive things first, that is patient-centered, that looks at the social determinants of health. This is all the integrative model, all of which is being embraced and advanced by the Samuelis. And if anybody had any questions about it, if you go back and look at the Samueli Institute, which for 15 years they funded with a former NIH running it, you would see that that's what integrative health and medicine means to them. It's a very broad concept, but what these characters do with their desire, again, to polarize and denigrate all of a model that they weren't raised to do, don't know how to do, dislike, they'll go in and focus on this one therapy.
So you seem to be pretty plugged into the Samueli effort at Irvine. You know, now that the grant has been awarded and, you know, they're going to build, you know, some of it's for construction of buildings for research and teaching, but some of it's for hiring expert faculties, for conducting courses for medical students and residents, and perhaps for undergraduates, but also for community outreach. You know, what, so what are some of the things that are on the launch pad for UC Irvine as perhaps a model of, you know, what can happen to other centers across the country? And maybe this is something that you envision will be part of the movement towards integrative medicine in the next decade.
Well, so great question. For context, for the people listening, there are something on the order of, it's around 70 academic health centers in the United States that are part of a consortium that's called the Academic Consortium for Integrative Medicine and Health. So this
movement, which you were instrumental in founding.
Actually, not that group. That's the group of medical schools. The other is, it's a little confusing. There's an academic collaborative for integrative health that works closely with the consortium.
Okay.
The collaborative is all of the councils of colleges for acupuncture, for chiropractic, for naturopathic medicine, massage, actually direct entry midwifery. It's the interest in all of the kind of licensed integrative health fields, as we call them. So they ended up becoming a force in the dialogue about integration and created a platform for direct dialogue with this broader med school consortium. So the med school group has been moving forward, and it's been growing from, you know, 15 institutions in 2003 to the 70, something like that now. Some of them have seen up to $30 million worth of investment. A number of them have had over 10 or 15 of philanthropic money. For the Samuelis to do this, it was really a very, some of it's capital costs, but a lot of it is to try to more deeply embed the integrative mind, the integrative approach into kind of clinical service, with one base being the what was the Susan Samueli Center for Integrative Medicine that's been there, again, for roughly 20 years at UC Irvine. They also announced that they plan to support roughly a half dozen professorships that would be research professorships of people who would be teaching and researching. And, you know, if you're looking at life from an integrative perspective, you actually want to have your educators, researchers, and clinicians talking with each other, if not to have all those characteristics wrapped up in one person. It's really a...
And many of these, and by the way, many of these people are not witch doctors. These are MD, PhDs, people with, you know, advanced degrees, people who are statisticians, they know how to conduct research projects.
Absolutely.
And they may come either with a bias toward integrative therapy, or perhaps they even bring towards it a certain healthy skepticism. They, you know, it's like they're from Missouri. Show me that this or that or the other therapy really works. And only then can we really learn, you know, separate the wheat from the chaff and learn really what is efficacious. You know, are there some practices that we're perhaps engaged in that don't really cut the mustard? I think it's important for the public.
So I the way I view this opportunity, and I think I worked as a kind of consultant to the Samueli Institute and was involved when they had one of their meetings around their long range plan back in 2011, and have been connected to that work for a long time. And that's part of my background with it. And so why I feel relatively comfortable speaking about, you know, a plan that has not been published to the public in great detail, but what the Samuelis have funded has been in its own nature integrative. For instance, they had a whole initiative about optimal healing environments that acknowledges that people actually do heal better if they're in places that have fresh air. that have views of nature, right?
Unlike our current hospitals.
Exactly. And so that's part of the mindset. And this is evidence-based. This is not made-up stuff, right? We know that when we try to create health in individuals, that non-clinical factors, the determinants, the social determinants of health, are a bigger factor than our clinical interventions. The Samueli Institute played a big role in elevating that work through its final initiative there, actually. So I would anticipate that mindset, and I know that the work that Samueli's have funded in Orange, which is where UC Irvine is based, has been addressing the social determinants in programs that are linked to the community health clinics in Irvine, and despite it being Orange County, there are actually underserved people that are there and are served through these programs. So it's actually the mindset of integrative health is not really that far-fetched now. The idea that we need to embed nutrition in our medical thinking, healthcare thinking, well, all that evidence is there now. It's not happening, though, right? We know that the mind and the body are connected. The evidence is there. We know that telomeres can expand from meditation, can lengthen from meditation, but this thinking is not being embedded in the way it's are taught, nor the way typically research is being prioritized, nor care delivered. And so my expectation with the Samueli program is that they will be trying wherever they can to move this kind of evidence-based. They say that there's a 17-year research gap between research and clinical practice.
Exactly.
So the institute this initiative is really jumping into that gap.
Indeed.
And it's trying to diminish the time that we need between advancing and bringing forward all of this research that we see as personalized healthcare, we see as patient-centered healthcare, we see it as the social determinants of health, we see it in realizing that we need to be working in teams in care, which breaks the traditional model, and so much of what's known as kind of value-based medicine that was elevated under the Affordable Care Act, which is now being destroyed, a lot of those values are actually bringing you closer to the integrative health model also, and looking much more, for instance, at outcomes and effectiveness, and a little bit less at efficiency and sort of basic science research. It's looking at how do we actually create health in the population. So I'd say that the Samueli's are merely trying to create a model as a academic health center that absolutely they have said they would love to have it be discovering things, processes, methods that might be replicated and utilized in other
Indeed.
Health centers.
Well, you've certainly laid the groundwork for a discussion in part two of some specifics. What are what's happening in 2018? What can we look forward to in terms of developments on the integrative front? And your mission statement, the mission statement of the organization that you co-founded, Integrative Health Policy Consortium, is, and it's beautifully stated, quote, a national healthcare system devoted to optimal health and well-being. And that's what it's all about, by whatever means necessary. And certainly an integrative approach can bring that goal forward. In part two, we'll continue our discussion with John Weeks. John, stay with us. And listeners, come back to us for part two of today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast.